Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, July 16th, 2013. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, investigation continues in Pullman into the Grove fire. Bonneville Power Administration chief fired. Moscow Council rejects parkland replacement plan for Indian Hills 6th Edition subdivision. And City Council asks Latah County Commissioners for delay in new zoning split rules for the county. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. In the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The lightning-caused Rough Creek Fire, 6 miles east of Riggins on the Salmon River breaks, had expanded to 2,600 acres as of late this afternoon. Officials have closed a large area north and east of Riggins to the general public because of safety concerns. The fire is burning in steep, hazardous terrain. In the Salmon Chalice National Forest, it is 40% contained. The Papoose Fire in the Nez Perce National Forest west of Salmon gained 900 acres since yesterday and is now the largest wildfire in the state, having burned 4,400 acres. It is burning in steep, rugged, and inaccessible terrain along the middle fork of the Salmon River. The Pine Creek Fire in the Boise National Forest is now 1,200 acres in size and 10% contained. The fire is burning in conifer and grass 15 miles northeast of Boise. The Oregonian reports an email from U.S. Deputy Energy Secretary Daniel Poneman to employees of the Bonneville Power Administration says the new interim administrator of the agency will be Deputy Administrator Elliot Mainzer. Mainzer replaces Bill Drummond, who was appointed to head the agency in January. The move announcement came yesterday, and today the Inspector General's report was released saying there is evidence the BPA was not giving preference to veterans in hiring as required by federal law. The report also said there was concern that employees who raised the issue of hiring practices or cooperated with the Inspector General's investigation were subsequently disciplined. The Associated Press reports Energy Department Chief Human Capital Officer Robert C. Gibbs wrote in a letter yesterday that on July 10th, Poneman directed Administrator Drummond to, quote, take no adverse personnel actions against BPA's human capital management employees, to immediately suspend any such actions that had already been taken, unquote. The letter also said Poneman told Drummond to tell any employees who had been suspended to return to work immediately. The Bonneville Power Administration, which is based in Portland and staffed by federal employees, produces, distributes, and sells power from 31 hydroelectric dams in the Northwest. Democratic U.S. Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon, who chairs the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, said in a statement, retaliation against whistleblowers, quote, in any way, shape, or form that affects hiring veterans cannot be tolerated. Corrections Corporation of America has asked federal Judge Edward Lodge to deny news organization requests to make public documents in a prisoner lawsuit over conditions in the Idaho Correctional Institution south of Boise. The Nashville-based company, which is the largest private prison contractor in the world, claimed in a motion the news organizations do not have a First Amendment right to the documents in the civil case. CCA attorneys wrote, neither the First Amendment nor the common law right of access govern discovery exchanged among private parties to civil litigation. Not only is the Media Coalition's motion to intervene premature, but it is replete with conclusory assertions and assumptions, heavy on inaccuracies and light on applicable law. The Associated Press, television station KBOI, the Moscow Pullman Daily News, the Lewiston Tribune, the Idaho Press Club, the Idaho Statesman, and others have asked to intervene in the case after CCA asked Judge Lodge to seal documents that might pertain to corporate trade secrets or individual inmates' health in the lawsuit. The Moscow City Council voted last night to allow Thompson Development to add 9,914 square feet to a future park in a part of the Indian Hills subdivision in lieu of requiring the developer to build a larger park in the Indian Hills 6th edition. Thompson Development's parkland obligation for the subdivision increased 3 months ago when they received a rezone to build a commercial building near the U.S. Department of Agriculture office building on South Mountain View Road. Indian Hills residents last month opposed a plan by Thompson to build the park on a larger lot near Alturas Technology Park because it would be too far away from the neighborhood and make it more difficult for them to keep track of their children using the park. The city council rejected Thompson's plan last month. The city council last night rejected another plan that would have the city pay $30,000 for two parcels on South Blaine Street to replace the smaller park on Indian Hills 6th edition. Local resident Bill Parks offered to pay the other $30,000 for the parcels, which would be $60,000 after a $20,000 discount offered by Thompson. After the city council rejected that plan, Bill Parks said he was disappointed. Here's Parks, followed by Moscow Mayor Nancy Cheney.
We were down to the point where if they dedicated one lot, then we at 62.5, then we were at the other at 62.5, and they were at the point of offering 70. So for $7,500, we have taken away the opportunity to make it a safer, better park. I think that was a really big mistake, and I've just saved $30,000 or $35,000, and thank you very much, but I'm really disappointed. In this. It was a hard decision for me to make to come up to try to get this thing to work. And, I'm sorry.
Bill, I think I can speak for my colleagues here at the staff as well, saying how much we appreciate such a generous offer as that one you made and your commitment to our community and the well-being of not just youth, but members of the community of all ages and abilities. So, thank you. That was huge. I share your disappointment.
That was Moscow Mayor Nancy Cheney, preceded by Bill Parks. City Councilmember Dan Karskalin made the motion to allow Thompson Development to add the square footage to a future park in the Indian Hills 8th edition, which they say they plan to develop next. Councilmember Tom Lamar was the only councilmember to vote no. Here's Lamar, followed by Councilmember Walter Steed.
My concern with that is, there are a couple concerns that I have. One is I feel like we're kicking it down the road, not putting the parkland in the neighborhood that's being developed. It seems like all across this whole hill, as we've been developing neighborhoods, we keep pushing parkland further and further and further away from where people are living. And it's obvious to those of us on this bench that it's really frustrating to the people in that neighborhood what's been happening to parkland throughout the phases.
Tom, we have a park in the neighborhood. It was dedicated 3 or 4 years ago.
We do.
It was reaffirmed a few meetings ago by 100 signatures on petitions from neighbors that said, we want this park where it is.
Exactly.
The petition said nothing about making it bigger. The developer offered 130% land at another location nearby. They said, we do not want that. We want what we've already got. And with this motion that I've seconded tonight leaves them exactly what they got.
That was Moscow City Councilmember Walter Steed, preceded by Councilmember Tom Lamar. Local resident Don Regan told the council the 8th edition is still a decade away from being built. Latah County Commissioners are holding a public hearing at this hour on proposed changes to county zoning law that would increase the number of splits a landowner can make. The hearing was scheduled for 5:30 p.m. at the courthouse. Meanwhile, Moscow City Council members converged at City Hall at 10 a.m. today to sign a letter of comment to county commissioners asking to meet with them before enacting the ordinance. The letter also asks the county to consider renegotiating for a possible larger area of impact around the city. Under the proposed county zoning law, those owning 10 or more acres of land could split their property once, and those who own at least 40 acres could split it twice. Under current law, landowners with less than 40 acres can split their property only if at least 10 of those acres have soil classified as poor. City officials are concerned the new rules will impact land at least a mile away from the city limits, while zoning for more controlled growth would continue in the city's area of impact within a mile of the city, creating a situation of uneven development. Under an agreement with the county, the city makes zoning decisions within the area of impact, but the county has final say. At last night's city council meeting, City Supervisor Gary Reedner reviewed the content of the city's letter. You'll also hear in this clip from Moscow Mayor Nancy Cheney and City Council members Dan Karskalin and Walter Steed.
Request the county to meet with us to renegotiate the area of city impact prior to enacting this ordinance, then I would suggest that we ask that directly. I don't think underlining or bolding is going to add anything to it. I think the direct request is what's going to be most effective.
Something to the effect, please be advised that the city intends to...
Or ask it in the letter.
Yeah.
Yes.
To schedule an appointment
at
a mutually agreeable time to discuss this prior to whatever.
Something like that.
Okay.
And then if I may, one last
please.
Thing.
Please.
Uh-huh. You and Gary, I'll let you get your note written there. And you and Bill, after the workshop, were talking about, I think, two specific pieces of property that have large acreage owned by single property owners that have previously indicated to the city some development of their property at some unknown future date.
Yes.
Those are not called out in here. I was thinking that they might be, so that we wouldn't scare the county by saying we want to negotiate the whole thing except where it hits the state of Washington line. If we're really looking at those 1,200-foot areas or...
I understand what you're saying.
In other words, yeah, tell them we want to meet now, but at the same time say we mainly want to talk about a couple of areas. Don't limit it to that, but indicate to them we're not... Don't indicate to them that we're attempting to expand three sides of this area of impact, which I don't think y'all are talking about.
Certainly we could add that.
That was Moscow City Supervisor Gary Reedner responding to City Councilmember Walter Steed at last night's City Council meeting. You also heard from Mayor Nancy Cheney and City Councilmember Dan Karskalin in that clip. Turning to other news, the Assotin County Sheriff's Office reports they found a naked 62-year-old man laying on a street with a severed penis this morning at 4:20 a.m. Sheriff's Captain Dan Haley said the man was transported to a hospital in Lewiston and a portion of his penis was found nearby and also sent to the hospital for possible reattachment. Haley said the incident was not an accident, but added there is no danger to the general public. He said police are not currently looking for a suspect. A 58-year-old man from Potlatch lost his life Saturday after failing to negotiate a curb on State Highway 8 near Elk River. Idaho State Police say Ricky Bidlake was airlifted to St. Joseph Regional Medical Center in Lewiston, where he died. Bidlake was not wearing a helmet. Fire investigators in Pullman will bring in an arson dog today to help search for clues to the cause of the suspicious early morning Sunday fire that destroyed 4 out of 8 under-construction buildings at a new apartment complex on Terraview Drive called The Grove. Fire crews watched over the smoldering rubble yesterday while investigators sifted through it, and construction workers arrived yesterday to continue working on the 4 surviving buildings of the complex, where more than 500 Washington State University students had signed leases to live beginning August 17th. Nobody was injured in the massive blaze, which started at around 3 a.m. Sunday morning. Although all 4 of the buildings that burned contained apartment units, one was mainly the clubhouse for the complex and only contained 8 apartments. 2 of the other buildings that burned had 32 units and another had 16 units, bringing the total number of units destroyed to 88. Pullman Fire Prevention Officer Rich Dragu said in a press release, three pieces of construction equipment were a total loss and a total of 15 construction vehicles were damaged by the fire. The account director for the North Carolina-based company Campus Crest, which owns the apartment complex, Jason Chuboda, told the Daily News the company is committed to finding housing for WSU students this fall, and the company has initiated discussions with WSU to make sure all students have housing available. WSU Assistant Vice President for Administrative Services Terry Boston told the Daily News the university has some on-campus space available and a limited amount of university-owned off-campus housing available. Boston said school officials are waiting for an analysis from Campus Crest before moving forward. Campus Crest emailed leaseholders yesterday morning saying the company is assessing the damage and will arrange for alternative housing. Meanwhile, some observers told the Daily News it seemed clear in June the apartment complex would not be ready by the scheduled August 17th opening date. Seattle contractor Patrick McGregor of Seattle, who visited his daughter in Pullman the last week in June, told the paper he immediately could tell the under-construction apartments, which were still in the framing stage, would not be finished in time for the fall semester. McGregor said he called Project Superintendent Gene Waters, using a number available on a construction site poster, and asked him if he could tell him from one contractor to another about construction progress, and Waters told him he was not supposed to talk about that subject. McGregor said he took that as an indication the apartments would not be completed in time for the fall semester. Accounts manager Chuboda told the Daily News yesterday he could also not talk about construction project or construction progress. Referring to the four buildings at the Grove still standing after the fire, Pullman City Inspector Gary Ruse told the paper, "They've got an awful lot of work to do. The one building that's furthest along still hasn't passed the framing inspection. After that, they need to put in insulation, then drywall, then get it ready. Then they need to have a certain amount of site work done for parking and safe access without having to mingle with construction activities. Each of those steps require another inspection." Citing local media in other cities, the Daily News reports Grove apartment complexes in other university towns have not opened on time, including the Grove in Ellensburg, which opened a month late in 2007. A Grove location in Greeley, Colorado, which opened 10 days late the same year, and a Grove development in Mobile, Alabama, which had students moving in without electricity or running water, also in 2007. Similar worries occurred in Moscow in 2008, where a major contractor on the Grove stopped work and filed a $1.8 million lien against Campus Crest and another apartment company because the companies had not paid for construction work. The lien was eventually resolved, and the Moscow Grove on the south side of the city opened on time. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP in Moscow. Alta Mesa, partnering with Snake River Oil and Gas, say they may begin drilling for natural gas at two locations in Payette County as early as this week. The Idaho Department of Lands issued permits for the wells last month, and the department revealed in a memo the drillers will likely conduct a type of fracking on the underground mud and rock, which the department says is only 3% the size of fracking that is occurring in Pennsylvania and Texas. The Alta Mesa permit request is still pending for building 10 miles of gas pipeline to connect the new gas wells to an existing pipeline located near the Langley Gulch Natural Gas Power Plant owned by Idaho Power. Moscow police say they are looking for a man who pushed a stranger through a plate glass window at Moscow Bagel and Deli on Main Street at about 2 a.m. Sunday. The victim was taken to Gritman Medical Center and treated for lacerations on his back and elbows. Moscow Police Lieutenant Dave Lemitz said the victim said he was in the wrong place at the wrong time when he was shoved from the inside of the bagel shop towards the street. Police say they have identified the assailant, who is not from Moscow, and are now trying to locate him. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, There's a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight, mainly between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. Some of the storms could produce small hail and gusty winds, mostly cloudy otherwise, low 59. 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 8 a.m. tomorrow. Some storms could produce gusty winds, otherwise mostly sunny, high 87. Variable winds from the west, 10 to 15, gusting up to 20. And then clear skies Wednesday night, low 55, west winds 10 to 15, gusts up to 20, and clear conditions Thursday through Tuesday of next week are predicted, with highs of 90 Thursday and Friday, 94 Saturday, 91 Sunday, and 86 Monday and Tuesday, lows around 55. Currently, we have 90 degrees under fair skies in Moscow. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next is This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian news magazine, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. We'll also have blues with Brett coming in at around 8 o'clock, and music and entertainment throughout the evening here at KRFP Moscow. I'm Lee Robartis. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow, be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students. You can mail your memberships to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the Radio Free Moscow website, krfp.org, or radiofreemoscow.com to find out more ways to help Radio Free Moscow. Have a good night. This is KRFP Moscow.